Please stand. Our service for this morning begins on page 5. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we poor sinners confess unto thee that we are by nature sinful and unclean, and that we have sinned against thee by thought, word, and deed. Wherefore we flee for refuge to thine infinite mercy, seeking and imploring thy grace for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. O most merciful God, who hast given thine only begotten Son to die for us, have mercy upon us, and for his sake grant us remission of all our sins, and by thy Holy Spirit increase in us true knowledge of thee and of thy will, and true obedience to thy word, to the end that by thy grace we may come to everlasting life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, our heavenly Father, hath had mercy upon us, and hath given his only Son to die for us, and for his sake forgiveth us all our sins. To them that believe on his name he giveth power to become the sons of God, and hath promised them his Holy Spirit. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Grant this, Lord, unto us all. At this time, I will direct you to your propers insert as we speak together the introit responsively. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. Which comes out like a bridegroom leaving his chamber. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them. Shower, O heavens, from above, and let the clouds rain down righteousness. On your propers insert. Let us pray. Stir up your power, O Lord, and come and help us by your might, that the sins which weigh us down may be quickly lifted by your grace and mercy, for you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the readings. The Old Testament reading for the fourth Sunday in Advent comes from 2 Samuel, chapter 7. Now when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, "See now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent." And Nathan said to the king, "Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you." But that same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, "Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people, Israel, saying, 'Why have you not built me a house of cedar?' Now, therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, 'Thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep. that you should be prince over my people Israel. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you. And I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, so that they may dwell in their own place, and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more, as formerly, from the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel. And I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house, and your house and your kingdom shall be made sure forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I'll once again direct you to your small catechism insert as we continue our confession on the Ten Commandments. What is the seventh commandment?
You shall not steal.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God, so that we do not take our neighbor's money or possessions, or get them in any dishonest way, but help him to improve and protect his possessions.
What is the eighth commandment?
You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God, so that we do not tell lies about our neighbor, betray him, slander him, or hurt his reputation, but defend him, speak well of him, and explain everything.
What is the ninth commandment?
You shall not covet your neighbor's house.
What does this mean?
We should fear and love God, so that we do not scheme to get our neighbor's inheritance or house, or get it in a way which only appears right, but help be of service to him.
The epistle comes from Romans, chapter 16. Now to him who is able to strengthen you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery that was kept secret for long ages, but has now been disclosed, and through the prophetic writings has been made known to all nations, according to the command of the eternal God, to bring about the obedience of faith. To the only wise God be glory forevermore, through Jesus Christ. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the first chapter. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one! The Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying, and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I am a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. This is the Gospel of the Lord. At this time, I will direct you to page 12 of your hymnal as we confess together the Apostles' Creed.
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and He sitteth on the right hand.
Please be seated. Before we sing our next hymn, I will invite the children to please come forward. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our crucified and risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. What do we really know about Mary? Honestly, very little. There are very, very few sections of Scripture that tell us anything about her whatsoever, but Luke chapter 1 is probably the most informative. And so what can we learn from Luke chapter 1 about Mary? We know she is a virgin. We know that she is unmarried but betrothed. We know that she has a relative named Elizabeth. And we know that she lives in Nazareth. That's it. That's all. There's nothing else. Quite honestly, there is nothing remarkable about any of these facts. It's actually quite the opposite, right? She's some gal who lives in a town and she's not married yet. There's nothing remarkable going on. This is literally just an ordinary lady. Or, you know, as my sermon title will clue you in, run of the mill. However, God chose her. God chose her intentionally for more than a run-of-the-mill kind of life, more than an ordinary life. She certainly births the furthest thing from a run-of-the-mill child. In this first chapter of Luke, we learn rather remarkably about an unremarkable girl. And she gets welcomed into the greatest event the world has ever known. Consider what happens to her, right? First, Gabriel speaks, the angel, and he says, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." These words themselves change what we know about Mary. She is now no longer just some nobody who lives in some nowhere town. Now she is favored by God. Why? Well, it's not because she goes, "All right, well, next Tuesday I'm going to have this encounter with an angel." No, God just simply chooses her. He sends his angel, he sends his word, and he ultimately sends his son to Mary. Her womb, which was empty, is now filled with the very Son of God. And in fact, the words, right, "the Lord is with you," that brings on a whole different meaning because she literally, physically carries Jesus for 9 months in her womb. Now, Mary, of course, doesn't understand. Right? She's very familiar with how children are conceived. And so what the angel tells her isn't really making sense. She needs a further explanation. And so the angel answers her and says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Could you imagine having to try to fathom what is going on? So this angel just appears to you out of nowhere and then tells you that you're going to have a baby in 9 months, even though you're a virgin. And we can almost hear what's going on in Mary's own mind. "Oh yeah, I get it." Not really. Right? She simply has to believe that this is one of those miraculous moments that human minds cannot explain. And that's actually what she says, right? When she responds to the angel, she says, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." She simply submits herself in faith to what God's word had just said to her. And so now what about you? Are you somebody? Were you born in a really important or prominent place in the world? Were your parents of really high repute, like known across the state or across the country or across the world? Are you going to be lauded for centuries because of how great you are as a person or your snappy wit or your character or your words? Are you going to be known? Say 500 years from now, are people still going to be talking about you? Or are you nobody? In seminary, I remember studying about the great pastors and like heroes of the church, like Augustine, like these guys who lived like right after Jesus ascended into heaven, and they get like a chapter all about them in this history book. And I think to myself, I'm not even going to be a footnote in a history book. I'm not even going to get an asterisk in a history book. I'm nobody. But what does God do with nobodies? Like me? Like you? But he gives them a miraculous conception. He gives them a place not in an earthly history book, but in the grand scheme of salvation, in the grand scheme of eternal life. And what's better is he gives us a purpose. Our purpose isn't to seek worldly glory. It's not to try to make a place in a history book. It's to serve God right here, in our own place, to love our neighbor as ourselves. See, our place is not in a history book, but it's in God's book of life, and he will remember you forever. So what is the glory of a history book versus being in the glory of God? Being loved by the Almighty God. Honestly, everything pales in comparison to being known by God himself. You see, we're all born the same way. Run of the mill. We're all born ordinary people, but what does God do? But he changes us. He switches us from being ordinary, run-of-the-mill people into something more. He chooses us for our very place in life. He chooses us for a higher calling, and that is to be his people. To be people who are highly favored in his eyes. And he doesn't take our empty wombs, because the gentlemen in the room don't have those. But he takes our empty hearts, or really our hearts that are filled with sin, and instead he fills them with his Holy Spirit. He fills them with forgiveness. And he purchases us with Christ's blood. You are holy. You are favored. You have a very prominent place in the salvation story that God is still allowing to unfold in our world. And it's all because of this little baby who was born named Jesus. It's because he gets to be born of the Virgin Mary, live a perfect life, die bloody and crucified on the tree, and yet lives again. How can any of this be true? How can I know for certain that I am this favored one that God says I am? Well, unlike Mary, you're probably not going to get an angel. Gabriel is not going to appear in the corner and tell you how favored you are by God. And so what we need is, much like Mary, we need further explanation. How can we be certain? How do we know the Holy Spirit comes upon us with power and the Most High overshadows you and me? Well, the Holy Spirit is the agent, and the Word ends up being his instrument. And so what does he do? He takes run-of-the-mill, ordinary words that we use every day, and he delivers a message of faith and forgiveness into your ears. He takes run-of-the-mill, everyday water, and he combines it with that word to tear the heavens open for you and to make you a promise of eternal life. He takes regular bread and wine, and he turns it into his body and blood. Just run-of-the-mill stuff. Ordinary things that God repurposes to give you certainty, to give you assurance, to give you forgiveness. I can almost hear your thoughts, right? Oh, I get it. You just say some magic words and this stuff magically becomes body and blood. Or it magically becomes, you know, more than just regular water. No, we don't. We don't understand how that works. We don't understand how that works any more than we can understand how a virgin can conceive and have a child. And so our response is the same as Mary's. A faith-filled response. A response of submission. Behold, Lord, I don't get it, but I am your servant, and let it be according to your word. God says it's body and blood. Guess what? It's body and blood. God says baptism tears the heavens open. They tear the heavens open. God says you are forgiven and you are forgiven. And so if God says you're favored, you're favored. Now, if you've been paying attention, there is something that I'm sure you'll have to admit. If all of this is true, then none of this is ordinary at all. None of this is run-of-the-mill at all. This is extraordinary. This is wonderful. This is unique. This is something that we will never find ever anywhere else. Because God has taken us from an ordinary life, and he brings us into some of the most remarkable events the world has ever seen.
virgin birth, miracles of healing and raising the dead back to life, all so that Jesus can be God's Son, and not just God's Son for his own glory, God's Son for you. That way you can have forgiveness, that way you can know God, that way you can be favored. That's remarkable. My friends, God chooses you intentionally for something more than an ordinary kind of life. He places Jesus' forgiveness and righteousness and holiness into you by his word and through the sacraments. And he welcomes you into the most remarkable events the world has ever known or will ever know. So this day and always, never forget, the Lord is with you. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. In addition to the prayers listed in the bulletin this morning, we also pray for Betty Goodman, Betty Goodman's family, as Betty has been called to the Lord's nearer presence. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
And thanksgiving to God for the favor shown us in Christ and his incarnation. For faith to believe that nothing is impossible with him, and that everything would be to us according to the word of the Most High. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For faithful preachers of your gospel, to bring about the obedience of faith by the mystery of Christ now revealed in the prophetic and apostolic scriptures. For Matthew, our synod president, Mark, our district president, and Mark, our circuit visitor, and for the Holy Christian Church, that God would strengthen it in every place. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord.
For our nation, its president, all legislators and judges, and those newly elected to serve, that God would preserve their lives and guide their actions for the good of our people. For peace among the nations, that God would preserve us from pestilence and famine, war and bloodshed, sedition, rebellion, and every evil. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all women with child and all mothers with infant children, that God would grant them increasing happiness in their blessings. For the lonely, the depressed, and the despairing. For the sick, the anxious, and the dying. And for those who mourn, especially this day remembering the family of Betty Goodman, that they would take comfort in the resurrection. Let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
O Most High, we give you thanks for your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the key of David and the scepter of the house of Israel. By his death, he has opened the kingdom of heaven and closed the gates of hell for all who trust in him. By his resurrection, he has rescued the prisoners who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death. Grant that as we recall with thanksgiving his advent in the flesh, we may always confess him and remain watchful for his advent in glory at the last day. Through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We continue on page 14. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done,
Blessed Lord, who hast caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life, which thou hast given us in our Savior Jesus Christ, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace.